Father, we love You so much. We're so thankful for Your many blessings, Lord, for Your forgiveness, for Your grace and mercy. Father, I pray now that You would guide my words, that You would speak through me, and that our hearts would receive what You have for each and every one of us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, you guys remember a revival we had several years ago, and I think it was that revival that we were talking about, how some of the preachers would enter the stage, and the one he was talking about was underneath the stage, and as it came time for him to preach, they'd raise him up from below. I do think that would be a better transition, don't y'all? You think we can build that for me? No. I might have to lay down underneath this stage. It would be kind of rough, but I don't know how many of you remember last week's message, but last week's message hit me hard on quick to forgive, slow to anger. And I had a bad week. I'm not going to lie to you. I had a really bad week. It's funny when I preach on stuff and how tested I get. And by Monday morning, I was so full of anger. And my wife sends me a text message right in the middle of it. It was road rage that I was having a problem with. And she sends me a devotional right in the middle of it. And she said, this went right along with your sermon from yesterday. And it was about road rage and forgiveness. And I'm still growling and mad and thinking, I don't want to forgive. And, you know, and then about 10 minutes later, Tim sends me a text and a verse. He said, this went right along with your message from yesterday about forgiveness. And I'm sitting here all mad and full of anger. And I had a bad week, y'all. And it's funny how when any time I preach on something, I should be prepared, but I'm not always prepared, because usually what I preach on, I've either just come out of or I'm about to enter in. And I didn't have a very good week. I wasn't very successful. And Monday afternoon, I kept praying and praying, trying to forgive the guy. He was very rude. He was very mean. And by the time I clocked out that day, I thought, I know where he works. I could probably go by there. No, quit. But I had a choice to make, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Is sometimes what always seems like the best choice isn't always the right choice. Okay, in moments, of course, moments of anger. The Bible talks about in Proverbs, a fool gives full vent to his anger, and I don't want to be a fool. And, you know, sometimes when you're struggling with stuff, you need to just step back and pray. And the best choice is not always what is right in front of you and the opportunities in front of you. Once again, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You know, in the moment of my anger, what seemed right to me was to stop my FedEx truck and get out and go have a conversation with that guy. But in the end, that would have not been the right choice. And so once again, the self-examination and where I want to go today, if you'll open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 13 and the choices that we make. And do we realize the choice that we make, it can be so far-reaching, affecting our family, affecting our children, affecting our friends. And to understand, to make the right choice and not just what seems beautiful on the outside, not what just seems like an obvious, easy choice, but to stop and meditate and pray on what the Lord would have us do. And the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is a very familiar story, but do we realize how we got there, how we got to that point? And so Genesis 13, chapter 1, it says, so Abram went from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tents had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at the time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part companies. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." I want to stop right there for just a minute, because everybody has had squabbles in their family, probably, of some sort or another. Can I ask you this morning, would you be willing to be like Abram and just say, "Look, let's quit fighting. You choose... And I'll take whatever's left. I'll go the opposite direction." You know, sometimes that's hard to do, because what if they choose the best? What if we get cheated? What if we don't get our way? What if we don't get what we want? And sometimes that's one of the hardest things, whether it's in family, whether it's at work, wherever, in friendships, to just step back if there's conflict arising and to just say, "You know what, you choose. I'm going to allow you to choose, and I'll take whatever's left over." Y'all, that's hard. That's hard sometimes, because we want our rights. We don't want to get cheated. What if they choose what I really want? But to really step back and allow that, and I think that if we would understand that in conflict and just really realize that God can handle it. God can take care of us. And whatever choice is made, whether it's by our choice or the choice of others, that God can handle it. And so that's a wonderful thing that he did. So let's go on to verse 10. It says, "Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zorah. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east." You guys see what he did? He saw what was wonderful. He saw what was beautiful, how well watered it was, and said, "The garden of the Lord." So this must have been a beautiful place. And he saw, that's the best, and that's what I want. I want the best for myself. Verse 11, "So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted companies. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were greatly sinning against the Lord." He made the choice based on the beautiful country and the beautiful land and what he thought could take care of his cattle, his sheep, his herdsmen, his family. But you can't tell me that, and we'll see it again in a minute, that he didn't know about Sodom and what was taking place there. It said right here that now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. And so what I think happens sometimes in our life is that we see things, and maybe it's a big promotion, maybe it's a new job, maybe it's something shiny and it appears wonderful, and we just make the choice, "Wow, that's going to be a blessing, that's going to be great." And we don't stop, and we don't pray, and we don't really think about all that entails that. Maybe the promotion, you got to travel now. Maybe the promotion, you're going to get a big raise, but you're not going to be home at night. Maybe, you guys see what I'm saying? I'm getting choked up here. You see what I'm saying? Is that sometimes something that seems like an easy choice, this land was beautiful, but he was going close to Sodom, pitching his tents right outside of Sodom. And so wait a minute, but there's evil there. And I also think in that sometimes we think hanging out with the wrong, that it won't affect us. That hanging out with those that are doing evil, well, I can handle it. You know, you guys know I've had a checkered past. When I was younger, and I was at a party or something, and there was somebody doing drugs, they never wanted to do them by themselves. They always wanted someone else to participate with them, you know? I had no business even being at those parties and being around that stuff. But, y'all, that's what happens, is that the evil it'll begin to influence and it'll begin to pull you in. And I think sometimes we're looking at the beautiful land, we're looking at the beautiful blessing, not realizing all that we might be giving up, not realizing the situation that we could be putting our family in. Proverbs 6:27 says, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his feet being scorched?" A lot of choices that we seem to be making to please the eyes and what would seem the best, are they really profitable? Are they really the best? Are they really the blessing that they appear to be? Because things can seem so wonderful and so great. I remember when I first started coming to church here and I was offered, well, I wasn't really offered, but I was told and kind of encouraged to put in for a job in Louisiana. And in the city in Louisiana where this, and it would have been a promotion, it would have been a management position, and I was really weighing it. And Randy was here at the time, and Randy said, "Pete, do you realize how bad that city is that you would be taking your family to?" And, you know, I didn't really want to leave this area anyway, but enough money and promotion, and man, then I could move around, but where I'd be placing my family, is that really where I want to be? But our eyes sometimes, they look at the gold, they look at the money, they look at the greatness, and we make the wrong choices. 1 John 2:15-17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." What I want to ask y'all this morning is, in our choices, in our decisions, are we praying about it? Are we seeking the will of God? Or are we seeing something shiny and something new or something wonderful and we say, "Well, that's my choice. That's what I'm grabbing for. That's what I'm going to." Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." And so what I want to ask you this morning is, in your choices, are you asking godly men, godly women around you? In Exodus 18:24, Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. Now, the sermon's going to get would be too long if we went back and looked at every example, but I encourage you to go maybe read that if you don't know what I'm talking about with Moses. But Moses, his hands were getting full. He was getting overwhelmed. And he went to his father-in-law, and his father-in-law told him, "You need to appoint some men here to help take care of some of this and some judges." But one thing that his father-in-law did say, I believe, is something along the lines of, "If this is God's will, it'll work." His father-in-law even gave the credit to God. And so, y'all, sometimes in our choices, don't just say, "Well, this is wonderful. I'm going to choose this." You know, you think about Lot with Abram. The thing is Abram had the right to choose first. It was his right to choose first. But what did he do? He laid down his right and said, "Lot, you choose." But can I tell you where would wisdom have been in that? Is Lot saying, "Well, what do you think, Abram? Where do you think I should go? How do you think I should handle this?" Y'all, sometimes it's important for us to ask godly men, godly women in our life for advice. We're a fool if we don't listen to people. And we just think we have all the answers. And then in that, where is the very first place that we should go when we're seeking counsel? The Lord, right? The Lord is the very first place that we should go in praying. And sometimes, y'all, if something seems easy, like for Lot, okay, easy decision, it would seem, this land's beautiful, this land's going to take care of all my animals, it's going to take care of all my workers, and wow, and I get to choose first, this is beautiful. But there was evil. There was great evil lurking right there. Did he really pray? Did he really consider how this might affect his family? Proverbs 3:5-7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." See, too often we make choices on our own understanding instead of seeking God. Oh, it's a good thing. Let's just do it. It's a wonderful thing. Let's just do it. I've shared with y'all before. It's crazy. I'm not saying that God audibly speaks to me, but there's something in my spirit sometimes. And there was a time I was driving down here. A woman's hitchhiking. I drove 2 miles past her, and the Lord said, go pick her up. So I get on the phone with my wife, because I don't like picking up women, and I brought her to the church. We helped her, and you guys know the rest of the story. Tim and them tried to help and take her to Hot Springs and all that, but I felt like the Lord told me to pick her up. There was another person one time, and I almost stopped, and it was like the Lord said, keep going. Don't stop. Well, wait a minute. Isn't it a good thing to give somebody who's hitchhiking a ride? Isn't that? Well, that's wonderful. That's doing good. But I'm telling y'all, I felt in my spirit, the Lord said, don't stop. Don't stop. I don't know why. So I didn't stop. I kept going. Y'all, to learn to hear God's voice, to learn to trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. Our own understanding is take the raise, take the promotion, take the new job, move to this place that looks beautiful. But that's our understanding. But are we really trusting the Lord? The Proverbs goes on to say, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. So in all my ways and all my decisions and all my choices, and I'm praying and I'm saying, God, I need Your counsel. I need Your advice. I need Your help. And it says, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. So even if it's the easy choice, even if it looks good, do we consider our choice and how far-reaching it may go between our children, between our spouse, between our family? Do we consider the full effect of what may happen? We're going to go back to Genesis 19. Genesis 19, verse 1. Genesis 19, verse 1. The two angels arrived at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. My lords, he said, please turn aside to your servant's house. You can wash your feet and spend the night, and then go on your way early in the morning. No, they answered, we will spend the night in the square. But he insisted so strongly that they did go with him and entered his house. He prepared a meal for them, baking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him. And he said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But do not do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof. I have a hard time even comprehending that. I'm not going to lie to you. I have a hard time even comprehending that, what he was willing to do to protect these two men. But I want y'all to think, I had a boss, and he was my second. I've only had three bosses in 20 years at FedEx, main terminal managers. And he was the second boss that I had. And a lot of people didn't like him, but I really liked him. And he was offered a job. And his goal was to be a CEO by the time he hit his 40s, okay? And he was offered a job in Miami. And he and his wife, and he had three or four boys lived in Alma. And they was all probably under the age of 10. And he was offered the terminal manager at Miami. And so Miami is a whole lot bigger than Fort Smith, okay? And so he took it. And 6 months after he was down there, his wife packed her bags. And she said, with or without you, I'm going back to Arkansas. She said, I cannot allow our kids to be in this environment anymore. And she left. He couldn't get transferred back here with FedEx. He ended up quitting his job, and he still lives here now. And I seen him at a restaurant one day, and we got to talking, and he said, you know what I thought was so important to me to become a CEO and everything else? He said, I didn't realize what I was putting my family through and the environment I had placed them in there. And he said he regrets so bad taking that promotion because he loved working for FedEx. Y'all, sometimes in our life, we see something that seems beautiful and seems great, but how is it affecting our family? You think about this environment that he and his family is growing up in, that they're storming his house. Verse 9 says, get out of our way, they replied. And they said, this fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play judge. We'll treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moving forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so they could not find the door. The two men said to Lot, do you have anyone else here, son-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belong to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. See, right there's another verse, y'all, that the outcry to the Lord is so great against this city that he sent us to destroy it. That right there is another thing to me that says Lot must have known about Sodom. I'm presuming here, okay? This is not biblical. I'm just presuming. But we see that Sodom was greatly wicked, that the outcry to the Lord was great. So he must have known where he was taking his family and what he was doing. But, oh, the lamb was so beautiful. And it could take care of my herds and my cattlemen and everything. Choices that we make. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city. But his son-in-laws thought he was joking. This is just a side note, but when I read that, I thought, how sad that is. If you're a man or a woman of integrity and you come to somebody with an urgent message, they should believe you, right? They should know what you're talking about. And when I read this and I thought about the conversations that me and Tim have had about joking and teasing and everything, you know? And I mean, let your yes be yes and your no's no. Are you a man or a woman of integrity that when you speak something, people believe what you have to say? That... Now, I guess in kind of his defense of this, it would almost seem unbelievable, like, okay, God's about to destroy the city. I mean, that's like, wow, that's really major. But a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, you would think that they would listen to what they have to say. That's a side note. That's not the sermon. Verse 16, when he hesitated, the men grabbed his hand and the hands of his wife and the two daughters, and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives, don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. You notice there was specific instructions there. Run, and don't even look back. But Lot said to them, no, my Lord, please, your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. Boy, Lot's just pushing it, isn't he? Wait a minute. If you send me all the way up to the mountains, but let me go to this town. He said to him, very well, I will grant this request to you. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it. By this time Lot reached Zora. The sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew these cities and the entire plains, including all these living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. She looked back. Okay, so Lot's safe. His daughters are safe. But his wife's not with him any longer. You know, our choices that we make, we may think, well, your family can handle it. I can handle it. I'm strong. But you don't know the effects that it might have on those that you love the most. The choices that we make each and every day, we may think, this sin, it's not going to influence me and I can stand strong, but you're bringing it into your house, or you're taking your children, you're taking your family in areas that they don't need to be. And how's that going to affect them? The way of our culture, the way of the world, and it pollutes their minds. And all at once, they're in love with something that they shouldn't be in love with. They're captivated by something that they shouldn't be captivated by. All because we wanted the best. We wanted the easy choice. Matthew 6:21. Says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Can I tell you something? She looked back because she loved that city, I guess, and she was instructed not to look back. And when I think about this, and I think about where do my eyes go, what are my eyes in love with? One of my favorite shows to watch is Log Cabin Living. Any of y'all ever seen Log Cabin Living? They go around and they shop for different log cabins, and then out of the three, they'll choose one. But I got to be careful because that makes me covet and want these beautiful log homes. I have to be careful what I'm allowing my eyes to see. You know, some of us, sometimes we don't even realize what we have. Let me say it this way. We don't realize what we have isn't good enough till we see somebody with something better. And then all at once what we have, oh, wait, I could have this or I could have that. And then we desire and we want more and we begin to chase after that. And we make choices to follow after worldly things instead of after spiritual, after the Lord. I'm going to go to Hebrews 11, and we're going to finish there. Hebrews 11, verse 24, and it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. How about us? Are we making the choice that, Father, I'm going to serve You? It don't matter what pleasures of this world that I'm giving up. Father, I'm going to obey You. I'm going to lean not on my own understanding, but I'm going to follow You and seek Your will and Your guidance in my life. Moses understood this, and he could have had all this treasure, all this worldly possessions. But it says, the sin for a short time. See, our lives are going. And when we live for sin and we live for those moments and those moments of pleasure, and before you know it, they're all going to be gone. Verse 26, He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. When we're looking at the immediate, that promotion's good. That more money's good. That, you know, that move to wherever is going to be good. Are we seeking the Lord? Are we seeking His counsel? Are we seeking His advice? Or are we living for those temporary pleasures of what this world has to offer? Can we truly be like Moses and say, I'm not going to enjoy this world and its pleasures and its sin because it's fading away, but I'm looking forward to what's waiting for me. What's waiting for me? Life's going by so fast, y'all. And before we know it, we're going to be in heaven. It's coming for every one of us. Are we making the choice to live for the Lord Jesus Christ now? Or are we making the choice to fall in love with the world and the desires that it offers? Each and every day we're faced with choices. And I would just encourage you this morning, if you're facing a big decision, if you're facing a small decision, whatever decision you're facing, pray. Seek the Lord. Seek wise counsel from fellow believers. Pray. Seek the Lord. Seek wise counsel from fellow believers. Y'all, I've had opportunities in my life to do some things in the world that would make me a lot more wealthy than what I am. But thank God I had good counsel. And the Lord showed me that's not what I was supposed to do. And y'all, looking back, I still think I struggle sometimes. I see my friends that I worked with at UPS and they're a few years away from retirement and I'm years away from retirement. I think, what an idiot. Why didn't I stay? But the Lord opened up the door and I don't know if I could have been the pastor here. I don't know if I'd have been the youth minister here to even allow me to be the pastor here because I'd have been working too long hours. And it's just, you don't know how God's going to work things. And just don't run after what seems like the easy choice. Stop and pray. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd give wisdom to each and every one of us, Lord, that we would not lean on our own understanding, that we would not be wise in our own eyes, but, Father, that we would truly seek You out of a humble heart and that we would listen to Your counsel and Your guidance. Father, that we would hear Your voice, that we would know Your Holy Spirit so clearly, Father, that You would help us to make the right decisions in every area of our life, that we would not chase after what seems easy and the money. And Father, that we would understand that every choice we make, Father, that it affects our family, that it will affect our friends, that it can affect our church. Father, that it can be so far reaching. So may we always, always seek You first. May You give us guidance and instructions. Father, if there's any here this morning that maybe they've made the wrong choice and they've been living with the effects of that, Lord, may they recognize it right now. May they repent and ask for forgiveness. May You give them grace. May You give them Your guidance and Your instructions. And Father, for those of us that will be facing things this next week, these next months, Lord, decisions and opportunities, may we be ever mindful to hear from You in every circumstance. May we not chase after the world, but chase after You and only You. Guard our eyes and guard our hearts, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If anybody needs prayer for anything this morning, a choice that you're struggling with, a choice you've made, maybe you just need to pray for somebody that's not here this morning. The altars are open, however the Lord would lead.
Even a sparrow has a place to lay its head.
I hadn't looked at it in a long time, but I remember seeing a thing, and I know we got some pilots in the room here, but something about that if a plane is like 1 degree off, that by the time it would get to its destination, that you'd be hundreds, if not thousands of miles, you'd miss your mark from just one degree. Y'all, just one small choice. How far it could get us off the path if we're not careful. I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm just trying to get y'all to understand, and for my heart to understand, how important the choices we make each and every day, even the little ones. One degree and you're going to miss your mark. Seek the Lord. Seek His counsel. Listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance in every decision we make. We'll have Bible study tonight. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.